It is walk-off Wednesday on Baseball Central. The numbers to call are 416-870-0590. Parker, why don't you read the other numbers?
I can't read.
1-888-666-0590. The numbers are the same in Canada and the United States.
Really?
Yeah. Anyhow, 1-888-666-0590, *590.
I haven't been in the U.S. in a very long time.
Yeah, that's true. And 590-590 is the text line. Give us your name and location. Make a pithy comment.
Yeah, a solid one.
Comment, criticism, question, whatever.
Yeah.
Never mind the criticisms. And if we like it a lot,
Jeff will put it on the air.
We'll put it on the air at the end of the show, and you'll walk us off.
It's got nothing to do. It's not we. It's got nothing to do with me.
Come on.
Now, there's not one time.
Assume some responsibility here. Assume some responsibility.
You haven't leaned over one time and went, "Hey, Mark, what'd you think about this call?" Not one time. "Hey, Derek, let's play this one. Great idea." It's like, come on.
All right. Well, you can run the ship.
No.
You can run the ship. Hey, the Blue Jays lost 6-1 to the Chicago White Sox last night. Who do we blame for this monstrosity?
Everybody.
The bullpen? The bullpen? The manager? Or how about this? Because I understand it's easy to turn fire on the manager and the bullpen. The bullpen.
It ain't no good.
Bullpen's got some issues right now. But, folks, this team went 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Teoscar Hernandez. One of his worst games of the year. I think, in terms of the plate, strikeout swinging, strikeout looking, fly ball to center field. I mean, it wasn't a horrible game, but, he had a chance to break open the game a couple of times. He couldn't do it. So, from where I am, and I'll ask you, dear listener, to call in, to text us, where I am, yeah, the bullpen's an area of concern, but that game was lost. That game was lost by the lineup.
Yeah, it was, but I only got to ask you a question. I mean, this is a serious question. It needs to be answered, and I don't know the answer to it, so I'm going to ask somebody that I think can answer it.
Wait, just a minute. You want me to call Charlie? Hang on.
Yeah. Do you think he has the answer to this?
I do. I guess.
Can you tell me why Trent Thornton in the eighth inning in a 1-1 game against a first place team on the road after a day off is pitching in the eighth inning? Explain it to me. Because I don't know the answer to that. I really want you to explain it to me. Don't say what you said off air.
I'm going to say what I said off air because it's true.
Answer.
No, let me set it up for you. What is Trent Thornton? Why is he on this team?
Fifth and sixth inning guy, not later than that. Unless you just don't have any other choice, which they do have other choices. That's my question is. Look, Trent Thornton, it's okay to be on the team. He's made adjustment. The heater plays a little bit more. The breaking ball, he's eliminated the sinker, the slider, whatever. You can seriously look down there and go, hey, get Trent Thornton up in a 1-1 game on the road.
I need to know. I'd like to know whether or not I can trust Trent Thornton in a leverage situation.
Find that out against the Orioles.
Why? No, I don't want to find. I don't want to find out against the Orioles because if I lose that game, it might have an impact on where I am in these standings. No, I want to. This is the perfect time to find out. It's a perfect time to find out.
I could not disagree more with that.
I'm not saying it would have been my first choice, but I'm saying I understand. I don't know what my first choice would have been. The only two guys I trust there are Dolis and Romano. Those are the only two guys I trust. So
why do you think Romano didn't get loose
last Castro?
Night?
Whatever. I mean, he's just as capable of doing as Trent Thornton did. Joel Piamps, you can only go to that well so often.
Tim Mesa, Anthony Castro. I mean, look, they had a day off. That's my point is. Maybe you're scratching and thinking you can get two innings out of Trent Thornton. But I just don't know how you can on the road. Your starting pitcher was dominant. I mean, the one pitch that he threw was 97 away with two strikes, and a guy just so happened got the head out a little, and in a small ballpark, the ball carried and it went out. Okay, but then you go to Dolis and you're like. And he barely got through that.
Oh,
and
he did not. Guy, he sailed through that inning. Oh, he had it all figured out. Oh, you guys.
That was a piece of cake.
Listen, you need to get on the Dolis Express. You really do.
How can you get me on it?
Well, it requires.
Three down, four times in a row.
It requires a little bit of mind expanding. It requires a little bit of relaxation. It requires a little bit of zen.
Put your television on mute. just turn your back to the TV and just sort of peek around occasionally, see how it's going.
Rafael Dolis is, it's all going
to
work
out. Why does a pitching coach have to go out to an experienced guy like Dolis and say, hey, you know what? You can't throw your slider for a strike. Your split finger hadn't been your split in the last couple of outings. Your fastball is got a lot of sink to it. You seem to be able to throw that for a strike. Why aren't you throwing it? Why don't you throw it here?
Maybe
he threw it like seven times in a row, got guys out, struck a guy out looking with the bases loaded.
Maybe Pete just likes him.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
You think that's what he sounded like?
Conversation with Rafael Dolis.
I really like you, so I'm coming out here to tell you, don't throw that because I really want you to throw more of those.
Do you realize we spent 4 minutes, you've been ripping Rafael Dolis, who actually did his job last night.
I didn't rip him.
Actually did his job last night.
You just said we got confidence in two guys.
Okay, Mr. Manager. Mr. I'm going to run Joel Piamps and Anthony Castro out there. Yeah, I know when I started, at the start of the year, I was thinking to myself, boy, you know what I hope? I hope when the Jays are on the road and in Chicago, and Chicago's in first place and hitting up a storm, I want to see Anthony Castro and Joel Piamps. I thought that the first day of spring training, that's what I want to see.
So Charlie put four names in his hat, took his hat off, threw him in
no
the
problem.
Hat, shook it around, and went, Petey, stick your hand in there.
I have no problem. Going
they went to Trent Thornton.
Now, listen, here's the thing. I have no problem going to Trent Thornton last night. If he does it again tonight or tomorrow, okay, then we got an issue. But come on, the offense, they lost that game because of the offense.
I'm not disagreeing with you. 1 for 12 is not
Robbie
very good.
Robbie Ray is having a great season, but you know one thing you have to do for Robbie Ray? You got to give him 3 or 4 runs just in case. Because you know there's a grenade rattling around in that back pocket. Like, you know. It doesn't matter. Buck pointed this out. He could have a no-hitter going.
Yeah, well.
And you know how he's going to lose that no-hitter? It ain't going to be a single. It's going to be a 490-foot bomb someplace.
Well, he did have 13 strikeouts.
Yeah.
His slider was 91 miles an hour yesterday.
Here's a question. Max,
91 miles an hour.
Max in East York. If the Jays had been able to cash in 2 or more runs, this is a good question. Not that I'm surprised, but if the Jays had been able to cash in 2 or 3 more runs, does Charlie pull Ray after that home run or keep him in the game?
So 3-1. So say
3-1. And he gave up a home run on a good.
Say in the first inning, Teoscar with the runner on third and less than two outs gets the runner in, and then the third inning, Bo with less than two outs gets a runner in. It's 3-1, and he gives up a homer to the 7-hole hitter. Do you take him out with 100 and however many pitches he's got? I wouldn't, but you know how they are, right?
I was going to say Max, both Barker and myself wouldn't do it, but. I don't know what the binder would say. I don't know what the binder says.
Well, I know. I'll tell you what the binder says. The binder says third time through the order, his slugging percentage against is like 715. What were the third time through last night? 2 for 7 with a homer. That's what it was. 339 average, third time through the order, 714 slugging. My apologies. Third time through the order last night was 2 for 7. They get the same stat I can get.
Sir Jeffrey.
Is that you?
No, that's the name he's using.
That's a great name.
He says, hey, Blair and the Reverend.
Oh, good one.
I guess he calls you the Reverend, Reverend Kevin Barker.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. We saw again last night that good pitching beats good hitting, i.e. Ray and Rodon scores 1-1. Chicago's A-plus bullpen does not allow a run. Toronto's C-plus bullpen allows 5 runs. And then he talks about how the Red Sox ran their closer, Matt Barnes, out there 3 days in a row in the weekend against the Yankees. Jays rarely do back-to-backs. Gotta love analytics. Tony La Russa.
Tony La Russa did run his closer out there with a 5-run lead, too.
Yeah, but I also think that Tony La Russa is still of that mindset that the more series you win, the better off you're going to be. I got a chance to put this game away. Plus, I got Lance Lynn going.
5-run lead with the bottom of the order coming up.
I got Lance Lynn. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay the next couple of games. So I have no problem. Plus, it's Liam Hendricks. You can run him out 100 times a year.
Really?
He ain't going to do anything.
There you go.
Your point, though, Max. I'm sorry, not Max. Where everybody's going. Your point, Sir Jeffrey. Your point is well made. We've talked about this. Charlie doesn't have somebody that he can go to back-to-back nights. We can rail about it, but
Charlie doesn't have a sure thing.
He does not have a sure thing.
No, he does not.
He does not have a sure thing.
He's not got anything close to it.
Yeah.
Because if he did, he wouldn't have went to Trent Thornton in the 8th inning last night.
We will be chatting about the whole Josh Donaldson, Garrett Cole thing. We got to talk about that. That's going to be fun. tonight. Josh Donaldson, of course, calling out Garrett Cole for using stuff. And Garrett Cole sort of not answering the question.
He didn't say he didn't use it.
He didn't say he didn't use it, no. And it should be mentioned, by the way, that they do keep reminding this. Garrett Cole was named in a lawsuit filed by a former clubby with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He lists a whole bunch of players, pitchers that he supplied this whatever spider grip it or whatever it is to, including Tyler Chatwood, the Blue Jays, which makes explain a few things. Tyler Chatwood was in the list of pitchers that
works.
Well, obviously, yeah, we'll talk about that and later on in the show, and I'll tell you why I'm tired of people comparing it to steroids, including Josh Donaldson. It's not the same thing as the steroid scandal. It just makes me it is the falsest of false equivalencies to compare the two, and I'll tell you why later on. But as we said, it is Walk Off Wednesday. 416-870-0590 *590 1-888-666-0590. Before you get to Clifton, let's just kind of wrap up what we saw out of the game last night. You talked about Robbie Ray, Carlos Rodon. Boy, I'll tell you that they did work him over. The bottom of the lineup in the second inning, 27 pitches. Riley Adams saw 8 of them. We got to talk about Riley Adams as well, by the way. Barker,
ooh.
I'm going to throw some names. You give me your thoughts. Marcus Semien's base running mistake last night.
It's bad. Shouldn't happen with your cleanup hitter up in a close game. You're playing a really good team on the road, and you sort of got them on the ropes. It's bad.
Bo Bichette, 2-for-3 with a walk. You still don't like that swing?
I don't. Well, I don't like is strong. Like it's Bo Bichette, and Bo Bichette's going to turn out to be
Bo
Bichette.
You have some concerns about that.
Well, to be consistent and barrel up as many baseballs as everybody thinks he can, that big giant swing and falling across the plate with what he swings at, if you're going to do it, get a better pitch to hit, and then you can do those things.
Bo's error happens.
He's human.
Happens.
Get over it. That's
very well said.
Nobody's perfect.
Riley Adams.
Well, he hit 99. Saw that.
He doubled off 99.
Doesn't have a two-strike approach. I'm not sure he has to have one. Hitting at the bottom of the order. He's 6'4". He's a big target behind the plate.
I'll tell you what.
What I noticed right out the gate is Robbie Ray was not afraid to bounce that slider in the dirt, no matter who was on base. That tells you a lot about Riley Adams and what pitchers think that throw to him. That he's a big target. That doesn't matter. He can move his feet side to side. We saw him backhand a ball that was thrown very hard, which is almost impossible to do.
It's a sign that Robbie Ray has confidence in him.
Big time.
Big conference.
Big time. Yeah. And I didn't see a ton of shaking off, which, you know, it's up to the pitcher a lot of the times to call his own game. It's okay, right? It's two pitches. He wasn't throwing a ton of curveballs and a ton of changeup. When a slider is 91, you don't mess around with those other things.
He's a big man with a big swing.
He's a big target. I like how he gives a target quick enough, right? It's that. I don't care if you know it's coming. I don't care if you know where the location's at. If he locates 97 with all the grunting and the little deception he's got of turning his body, it'll make you think about what happens when Danny Jansen comes back.
If Riley Adams
can do anything offensively, and say he catches Ryu, why wouldn't he catch Ryu? He's a big target. He doesn't look like he's intimidated back there. He put the finger down with conviction. You know, you need to do that with a guy like Ryu. What if he catches him? He probably won't.
Right.
But what if he does and it goes well?
Yeah.
And Danny Jansen, we all know what Danny Jansen's doing offensively. And Danny Jansen rarely throws anybody out. And it looks like Riley Adams got a strong arm, strong enough arm.
*590 1-888-666-0590 416-870-0590 590-590 is a text line. Clifton and Etobicoke, Alec Manoah is going tonight. You think this is going to be a pretty significant start?
Yes, Jeff. I think this young kid is going to show up big time tonight.
You putting some money on this?
Of course, man. Of course. My two bets this week: Manoah tonight with the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night.
There you go.
That's going to be my two-team parlay this week. But here's my reason. And Kevin, you know, like, as a former major leaguer, buddy, I'd like to hear what you think about my handicap in here. Now, this kid, you know, coming off that big maiden win against the Yankees, I'm sure it took him, you know, a couple of days to come back down to earth. And then here he was up pitching against the Marlins, a bottom feeder. So I could see where he probably thought, you know, he should be able to make short work of this team. But like Barker always tell us, Jeff, that this is the major leagues. Everything here is tough. So this kid learned that lesson in game two. And I think it was much easier for Pete Walker to now convey to this kid what this major league is all about. It's all about preparation, man. So I'm expecting this guy to be better prepared tonight. And I think this kid has the stuff. So I'm expecting a big effort tonight.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Clifton, let me ask you this. Because we saw Riley Adams last night. Do you let Riley Adams catch Manoah tonight? I don't know. Are they sending a lefty or right-handed?
Lance Lynn's throwing. He's right-handed.
Lance Lynn's throwing. Okay.
Well. Yeah. No. I think I'd continue with, you know, like what happened in his first two games. Because I think this kid is going to be able to make the necessary adjustment. I'm looking for, you know, like some better, you know, pitch calling tonight from this tandem. And, I think this kid has got the stuff. And he knows it's a very important game tonight because this is where things start to count. Like the first game, you know, I'm sure with the organization understanding that, you know, everybody was on high, his mother, his family, and stuff like that. So they let him have, you know, let him enjoy himself. But this is where it's starting to count, starting tonight.
Clifton, appreciate the call, my friend. Stay safe, be well.
All right, man.
Yeah, Alec, thank you. You know, last time we saw him throw, it was 92-93. I wonder about that. Is that because he wasn't finishing his pitches? You know, slider wasn't anything. Really, in his last start. If he has a little bit better bite on the slider, you know, he can steal a strike with it, and the velocity is a little bit better with his four-seamer, I'll see why not.
It'll be interesting to see the White Sox, because we know that this team crushes left-handed pitching. It'll be interesting to see them against Manoah. It'll be interesting to see them against
pitch ahead. You know, the
Get the kid a lead. That's exactly going to be hard against Lance Lynn. That's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's not going to be the easiest thing. But, you know, if they do, that will do nothing but help. But, again, it's about attacking with your best pitch. What's his best pitch? His fastball. Mm-hmm. Use that. Do it with some velocity. Do it in and out. Maybe up. I don't know so much about down. I don't think he can do all four quadrants right now. But you can do a little in, mainly away, elevate with two strikes, have a halfway decent slider. I don't see why he can't give you six.
We had a couple of questions on the text line yesterday that I saved and I wanted to get to, Kevin. And one of them in particular really grabbed my interest. So much so that it isn't loading right now. How about that? Wouldn't you know that? God, I hate computers. The question was, I'm going to paraphrase here. The question was about Ryan Stanek and the velo that he was generating. And how a guy could get 100 miles an hour throwing the way he throws. In other words, the question was about sidearmers generating velocity like that. And just if you could explain that to the texter.
That's a great question. That's, you know, a lot of that has to do with mechanics. That has a lot to do with, you know, he's stronger year to year. It's, you know, spin rate. We're concentrating on a lot about that. You could get it on the fingers a lot longer. Ball's coming off your fingers later. Ball's got a little bit later life to it. That's one thing, too. The radar gun's a little bit, you know, they might be a little bit better now. Yeah, I think it has more to do with it's my max effort. I know what I am coming out when I come out. This is what I'm giving you as long as I can give it to you, and it's going to be as hard as I can give it to you. And they simplify it as much as they can now in 2021. And I think that helps a lot too. But a lot of it for me is they don't care to walk you. And a lot of that is they can start you out with their best secondary pitch. 3-2. We've seen a lot of 3-2 get me over breaking balls. And then the devastating sliders with 3-2. So just that spin on everything and the good mechanical finishes, that a lot adds up to a little bit harder velocity.
I do have the question, by the way. It was from Scott, and it was a great question.
Good,
Scott,
yeah,
thank you for the kind words.
That's a very
well.
Good question.
Now what? Because you watch the thing with the game now, though, is I hate to say it, but does anything with Velo surprise you anymore?
No.
Anybody? Well, we talked about Carlos Rodon. Give me the 3-year breakdown of Carlos Rodon of his velocity.
Well, last year it was in the 92s, but he had the sore shoulder and he didn't pitch a ton. But 2019, it was more like the 92-93 range. Mm-hmm. 20, that's his four seamer. 2018, it was like 91-92. Last night it was 97-99. Where's that coming from?
Yeah,
like all of a sudden it's. Yeah, I even had a conversation with my dad last night, and he brought up the point. It's a lot like a hitter. Some hitters will go 2 or 3 years in a row and hit 10 homers, and then 1 year they'll hit 30. Well, yeah. Where'd the 30 come from? Is it because they're working harder? Is it because they're trusting more? Whatever they're trusting mechanically, is it do or die season for them, and everything they got is going into every single pitch, and the mindset's a little bit different, or is it? The radar gun is the baseball lighter. Is it the sticky stuff they're using on the finger?
Yeah, I don't know if that has much to do with velocity as
I'm sure it wouldn't hurt
as a spin rate. But the only guy now who still kind of at least takes my breath away when he pitches is Jacob DeGrom, because the velo's there and it's there so often. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'm at the point now where, honest to God, Robbie Ray, Alec Manoa could throw a pitch 100 miles an hour tonight, and I wouldn't. I just kind of go, okay, whatever. It just doesn't surprise me.
DeGrom,
Velo doesn't surprise me anymore.
They always say about DeGrom is his mechanics, right? He can repeat that same easy, repeatable over and over. It looks the same. If you put the first pitch on top of the 100th pitch, every single one of them looked exactly the same. He repeats it over and over and over. That's why you see the consistent velocity. Yeah. That's... I think a little bit more of what the bullpen guys are doing. Coming out of the bullpen, they can repeat it over and over and over again, and it's max effort.
Speaking of sticky stuff, Major League Baseball is now in full inquisition mode after that owner's meeting. Confiscating balls, putting the pressure, putting the spotlight on pitchers who may have been using sticky substances.
Umpires are putting their foot down too, boy.
Putting their foot down and they can't pick it up because it's sticking. Spider grip and... all that good stuff. Lots of accusations flying around about pitchers using foreign substances to increase their spin rate. And it makes sense. It's an economic decision. Spin is something you can throw when you're 31, just as much as when you're 21, as long as you use a little help. It's not like velo. It ages well. And most importantly, everybody in baseball is paying you for spin now. Never used to be the case, but now everybody, you free agent, you want spin? Spin gets you money. We're going to talk about Josh Donaldson and Gerrit Cole. We're going to spin that story for you. See what I did there, Bark? We'll spin that story for you and try to avoid putting ourselves in a sticky situation. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
And here's the deal. Hitters have never cared about sunscreen rosin or pine tar. We haven't cared about that because it's not a performance enhancement. What these guys are doing now are performance enhancing to where it is actual like super glue type of ordeal to where it's not about command anymore, because when you go look at areas that would show command, walks are up, hit by pitches that are all-time high on a pace. So those two areas tell you that it's not about command. Now it's about who's throwing the nastiest. Is it coincidence that Gerrit Cole's spin rate numbers went down yesterday after four minor leagues get suspended for 10 games? Is it, you know, is that possible? I don't know. Maybe.
And how do you ever use spider attack while pitching?
I don't. I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. You know, and I, again, like I mentioned earlier, there's, you know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
All right. That last voice you heard was Gerrit Cole of the New York Yankees yesterday. The voice you heard before that was our dear friend Josh Donaldson, who has been very outspoken about pitchers using foreign substances to improve grip and to enhance spin rate. And Major League Baseball, as we know, in March, sent out a memo to teams saying they were going to crack down on the use of foreign substances as a result, as part of their plan to get the ball in play more often to make it easier for hitters. And you know, we all rolled our eyes because Major League Baseball's, well, it's illegal to put stuff in the baseball. It's been illegal since 1890. And every pitcher I've known pretty much put something on baseball. And a lot of times it's just rosin and pine tar for extra grip. But what we've seen in recent years, Kevin, is we've seen it become a science to the point where guys are being paid for concoctions that improve grip and in some cases are hard to detect. So it's just not like the old days where you'd smear pine tar on your legs or inside your belt and put it in a ball and throw it a couple of times and then throw the ball out. We should mention, by the way, that Josh Donaldson, he's not just picking out Gerrit Cole here. Other players have suspected Gerrit Cole of doing the same thing. And Gerrit Cole, in point of fact, was named by a former clubhouse attendant with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in a lawsuit. He is suing baseball for improper dismissal. He was fired a couple of weeks after baseball came out with its memorandum saying that they were going to crack down on foreign substances. And this clubhouse attendant, Bubba Harkins, it's a perfect name for a clubhouse attendant.
Tremendous.
Bubba Harkins, you're either going to be a NASCAR driver or a clubhouse attendant. Bubba Harkins says in his in the affidavit, says in his lawsuit, that not only did Justin Verlander, Tyler Chatwood, Kevin Jepsen, Cam Bedrosian, Kenyon Middleton, Yusmeiro Pettit. God, I can't.
Petit.
Jesus,
I played with Jepsen, him in winter ball.
Yeah, of course he did. Dylan Bundy, Matt Andrews, Dylan Peters. Yeah, he gave a bunch of lists. He says not only has he supplied them, or not only have they been known to use substances, he's also said Corey Kluber, Felix Hernandez, wow, Max Scherzer, among others. Bubba's dropping names, and he says that Major League Baseball knows that. Now, I'm gonna throw this out here, 416-870-0590, *591, AAA-666-0590. Barker, you played the game.
Yeah.
Josh Donaldson, I get what Josh Donaldson is saying. Mm-hmm. The old stuff, you know, spitting in your hand, rosin, pine tar to improve grip.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But stuff that actually increases spin rate is a performance enhancer. And people are going to draw comparisons between that and steroids. I want you to answer that, and I'll walk you through. Do not listen to anybody who tries to compare steroids to the
stuff on your
spin stuff, and I'll tell you why. But how do you view it? Because you were very clear about steroids. You think steroids are cheaters?
Yeah, I think this is cheating too. And anytime you can
worse
you
than
can, I don't I think that's not a fair question.
You're right. It is.
I really don't think it is. I think they're doing it because it works, because they can spin the baseball better and make the tunneling longer. You know, the longer that tunnel is on that breaking ball, the later bite that it has, the harder it is for a hitter to pick it up, the better chance you got of punching him out, the better chance you got of getting paid more money. Like, I just find it very surprising. Gerrit Cole could not have been shocked that he was asked that question. You would think that the Yankees PR or Scott Boras would go, if you're going to get in front of a camera, they're going to ask you about this, have a better answer for it. That was the first thing that stood out to me. Josh Donaldson nailed it. Like, yeah, you could say what you want about Josh. And, you know, it sounds like Josh is tired of not getting hits. This is affecting, you know, he's seeing the spin rate on the heater.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Where is Josh Donaldson's team right now?
Last place.
What is Josh Donaldson hitting right now?
I haven't looked, but it's not very good.
250.
Yeah, yeah.
His OPS is not having a good year.
No.
What is Josh Donaldson want to do in the offseason?
Wants to get traded, probably.
Get paid.
Well, he's already been paid. He's in that four-year deal. Of course. Like, it's, I told you this. It normally does not affect the superstars, but it affects the normal everyday player.
Or the guy whose career is winding down because he's getting older.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Trying to catch up to those things and trying to tell the difference between multiple pitches and the velocities on that one certain pitch and the late break on that pitch. And yeah, and I think the players, at least the hitters, are getting tired of it. And you see, like, the Charlie Blackmans and the Josh Donaldsons are speaking out and saying enough's enough because we can't hit it.
Josh, by the way, is signed. I want to throw this out there just to clarify. He's signed through 2023 with a 2024 team option. So, but again, if you look at his age, you look at where his team is, and you look at his numbers this year, they're not that good.
No.
But I got to say this because, and it was SI did a big story on it's the game's new steroid scandal and maybe worse than steroids. And people, it's understandable that people are going to discuss this. You know, the three great sins of baseball in recent years, steroids and turning a blind eye to it, the Houston Astros cheating scandal, and this. Those are going to be the three great sins. Here's why it is not at all on the same level as steroid use. First of all, steroids were used by pitchers and by hitters. This is one part of the team we're talking about. Steroids were used. Well, Darren Fletcher, God love him, told me one time he thought more pitchers used it than hitters. Because we know that the benefit of steroids is that it allows you to work out and recover quicker.
Yeah.
And it makes you bigger and stronger, but allows you to work out and recover quicker. That's as important, maybe more important for pitchers in some cases than hitters.
There you go.
And I will tell you this. The first person, once steroids got out, the first two people I suspected in the clubhouse I was covering of using steroids weren't hitters. They were pitchers. Two guys whose bodies had undergone unusual changes. So this is different. Secondly, nobody cares about spider grip outside of baseball. Nobody cares about it. Congress cared about steroid use. You think back to the congressional subcommittee hearings on steroid use. They had parents up there talking about how concerned they were that their child had started to use steroids in his teenage years because he saw major league players doing it, and it could have contributed to mental health issues. And I mean, it was a societal concern. It was a big deal throughout society. You didn't have to be a baseball fan to have an opinion on steroids. And three, this is the other thing, it's relatively easier to detect this. So I'm not saying that it isn't cheating. My point of view on this is very simple. Pine tar, rosin, that stuff's lying around the field.
It's on the on-deck circle.
Yep. You want to use it, you want to load up, use it, go ahead, but try not to make it obvious. Like, don't be going out there with your white uniform and have the entire front where the logo is smeared with pine tar. Not a good idea.
out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Yeah. So I have no problem with that. But the other stuff, yeah, the stuff that you're paying some dude, you know, a couple of grand to mix in the clubhouse, okay, I have an issue with that. But let's not try to see this for anything other than what it is. This is a real baseball issue. This is not like steroids. This isn't going to take the game down. People's legacies, I don't think, will necessarily be affected by this. So I'm just throwing that out because it bothers me, because I was one of those reporters. I got screwed covering steroids.
Yeah.
I was one of those guys who probably should have done more digging. I was one of those guys. You know, we talked about FP. I asked FP point blank, dude, are you using steroids? Nope. I had no reason not to believe him. Mm-hmm. I had no reason not to believe him because he's honest with me all the time.
Sure.
And you find out that there are guys who are using it. So the idea that all the reporters kind of blinded themselves to this and didn't ask questions, that's not on. But the fact is, hey, we screwed up. We didn't dig enough. And I accept that as a reporter. I accept that I didn't do my job that way. So I'm really sensitive about this whole thing equating it to steroids. It's not the same. And I know that that's me in the soapbox. But it's not the same. Having said that, damn right that every start this week, you know that folks are going to be going through it. Looking for spin rate.
Especially the best pitchers on the planet.
Sure.
That's the ones they're going to, you know, if you do it to Garrett Cole, you go out there and check hands and check hats and back pockets, then you'll do it to anybody.
Yeah. Kyle in Norfolk. Anything that puts another athlete's health at risk is terrible. Steroids or foreign substances on balls, it doesn't matter. If someone gets hurt, that's on MLB. Kyle, but the point is, the sticky stuff actually, the pitchers will tell you that improved grip is going to, you know, it offers more control, which would probably alleviate the possibility of someone getting brained by a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Yeah. I mean, there is a happy medium there. And this is a thing. Let's see what other hitters say. Let's see what the response is. Because so far, Josh Donaldson says, Randall Grichuk mentioned it. Guys have talked about it, but let's just see where this goes. The other aspect you got to remember, and our dear friend David Sampson, used to be president of the Miami Marlins. If he was on the show, Bark, he'd be the first guy to point out, it's all about labor negotiations too. This is a negotiating year. This is a perfect opportunity to split the union if you're Rob Manfred. And don't think for a second that ownership doesn't know that. Oh, and by the way, Garrett Cole, he just happens to be on the union executive.
Mm.
Max Scherzer, whose name is in, he just happens to be on the union executive. So here you go, big negotiations, and now you got pitchers and hitters carping each other. Anything happen tonight? Garrett Cole steps in, or Josh steps in the box against Garrett Cole, Bark? I want to move on from this. Anything happen tonight?
That's a great question. If you were Garrett Cole, you were ratted out by another pretty good player, an offensive player. What would you do? Act like you didn't hear it? Or do something about it.
I would suggest that if I throw at Josh Donaldson tonight, I'm as much as admitting I'm guilty.
Well, I think he already did. But not answering the question. If you weren't doing anything wrong, you wouldn't go. You guys are nuts. I didn't do anything.
Right. But again.
He didn't do that. So?
All right. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It's walk-off Wednesday. We've got text. The text line is 590-590. We'll get back to it and talk a little Alec Manoah as well. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It's walk-off Wednesday. So far, it's Clifton and Etobicoke. Not that's a bad thing at all. Hey, we talked a little bit about Riley Adams. Brandon in Cambridge, you knew you were going to, as soon as you mentioned this dude, you knew you were going to get name dropped on the show, Brandon. Well done. After watching Riley Adams last night, his build and size reminds me a lot of Eric Kratz.
Yeah, big target, decent receiver, puts fingers down with confidence. I'm with you.
No name, but he's from Vancouver. I watched a lot of Riley Adams when he played here in Vancouver with the Canadians. Big guy, strong as an ox, has a black belt in karate. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Strikes out a fair bit, but his potential is way higher than that of Jansen or McGuire. I don't look at Reese McGuire, really is having potential. I look at Reese McGuire as being what he is. He's back. He's
so what good, do you look at
good,
Danny Jansen?
He's good. I think we know what Danny Jansen is as well. Like you're asking me, are either of those guys going to get marginally better? I don't as much as
out of the three, who would you like to see playing 5 days a week?
I would say McGuire.
Right now, today.
Right now, I would say McGuire.
That's a solid take.
I'm no, really, I just I'm because you, I, I'm a little more confident in his defense.
And
than,
he's left-handed.
And I'm a little more confident in his defense.
Yeah. I like it.
I'm supposed to ask the questions.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Hmm. Alek Manoah goes tonight. What are you going to be looking for?
Velocity.
From Alek Manoah.
Strike one. What's he do with strike two? Is his slider good enough to put hitters away quick? Can he elevate a heater? And the reaction to the hitter. Hitter tell you a lot how good his stuff looks. Are they taking it? Does it have late life to it? Does it have late break to it? Are they going, man, it, you know, you can tell when a guy steps out and goes, ooh, we're getting it going a little.
Mm.
That.
No, it's, yeah, I would be intrigued. And again, the captain obvious here. Get the dude some runs early. It's going to be hard against Lance Lynn, but if there's an opportunity there, take advantage. I don't think you can come on here and hammer on the bullpen all the time and hammer on two-fifths of the starting rotation. Folks, if this team is going to win, they're going to have to hit a hell of a lot. They're going to have to score a ton of runs.
You can't. Yeah, that's
just it. You got, and I know, Bark, you can't do it every night. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. But right now, the way this team is constructed, unless it's Hyunjin Ryu pitching, you're going to have to score runs to win the ball.
George Springer needs to hurry up.
That would certainly help.
Hurry.
Jeff in London, like, he agrees with me. He thinks, oh, no, he doesn't agree with me. He thinks spider tack is worse for baseball than steroids. Go ahead, Jeff. I got carried away. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
The reason I think spider tack is a black guy inside of baseball, not, you know, counting children, steroids, stuff like that. But the reason I is because the problems right now with baseball is lack of offense and lack of ball in play. Mm-hmm. And these guys with their spin rate are causing problems for all those things. Like, you know, there's longer at bats, guys are whiffing, you know what I mean? Just like that. That's how I feel about it.
Hey, you know what, Jeff? No, that's a great point. And thanks for the call. The commissioner just didn't wake up one day and decide he was going to screw around with pitchers. Although, I do think that he said, yeah, maybe I'll wait until the CBA comes around.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Well, here it is. This is part of it. This is part of his plan to improve pace of play. That's where this comes from, to improve pace of play, to improve the amount of action in the game. And he is looking at everything that contributes to strikeouts and eliminates offense. He's looking at everything. Not all of it's going to stick. See what I did? Not all of it's going to stick. But there is it's no accident that this has come to a head in the year in which we've got a CBA. What's this? Kyle in Norfolk says, tell Barker I apologize for calling him the team's bus driver in Syracuse. Is that an in-joke?
I have no idea.
Oh, anyhow. A couple of other questions. A couple other suggestions. Tim in Hamilton. What's the league going to do? Suspend everyone? If they have any hope of reeling a situation in, they have to come out and approve select substances while prohibiting others. Sign off on pine tar and outlaw anything else. Tim, that's a great point. Tony also weighed in and said, hey, why doesn't baseball just come up with a substance and say, here, this is legal? That's where I think this is going to go. That's where it should go. I'm not interested. It was the same thing. Once we realized we had an issue with steroids, I didn't care who did or didn't use steroids. At that point, I just assumed most people were.
Yeah.
And get it out of the game and clean it up and let's go. That's where I am with this now. Okay, we know this is a fact. Clean it up. But I don't need to know who does and doesn't.
They're going to suspend more people in the minor leagues because minor leaguers want to get to the big leagues. Yeah, yeah. Up here.
Exactly.
Up here, that's why the commissioner sent that thing out a week ago and said, get ready, it's coming.
And minor leaguers have no rights.
They
got no rights.
None
they're not
whatsoever.
Part of the
and they're trying to get to the big leagues. They make no money in the minor leagues.
There you go. So all this experimenting that's going on in the minor leagues,
yeah,
there's a reason for it. And I think this is very much part and parcel of it. Although it would be something. Can you imagine if
Garrett Cole got suspended?
Because like the Yankees,
here's going to be the thing. Here's going to be the thing. What if one of these really good pitchers, like a Max Scherzer, like a Garrett Cole, has a couple, two or three bad starts in a row, and goes, "Man, I just can't. My slider ain't working. I got to go back to that stuff." Then what happens?
Yeah. Well,
like, because you know it's going to happen. You know guy's going to go, "Man,
what about this?
It was breaking so much with it, and it's not breaking now, and I'm getting hammered."
What if you're the New York Yankees? You got a lot of money tied up in this dude. And what if he starts getting hit?
Yeah. A lot of people going to be watching that game.
What if Max Scherzer starts?
Older guy, using everything he knows. Gentleman's agreement. You don't see it, I won't see it. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's not going to disappear. There will be some sort of follow-up action. I agree with that entirely. This is a bigger issue inside baseball than outside baseball, I guess, is why I would separate it for steroids. Steroids got the attention of a lot of people. Steroids was an issue for people outside the game, for wider society in general. I got to tell you, given what we're going through right now, I'm not certain spider tack is very high in people's list of priorities right now.
You don't think so? Other than just baseball players?
Just baseball.
Yeah.
Which is all that matters because that's what we're all about, right? Clifton and Etobicoke. Kel Surprise. Clifton and Etobicoke, you walked us off. Writer's block is next.
But like Barker always tell us, Jeff, that this is the major league. Everything here is tough. So this kid learned that lesson in game two. And I think it was much easier for Pete Walker to now convey to this kid what this major league is all about. It's all about preparation. So I'm expecting this guy to be better prepared tonight. And I think this kid has the stuff. So I'm expecting a big effort tonight.